Good morning. What a good morning it is that God is with us. And I was really excited, you know, to hear the young people. And this is great. We've got a new microphone here, so that's good. The young people tonight, the youth, are having a meeting, a youth service, and it's called Survivor. Are you a survivor? Praise God. I pray, God, that after this morning, if you've got any doubts about that, then you'll be confident that you're a survivor. A survivor. You know, a survivor is someone who's confident and sure-footed. You know, I love to follow my husband. He's very, very sure-footed. Yesterday, he went up to our son's property to help do something with the cows, I don't know what. But after he'd left and was on his way home, our son rang and said Dad was on his way home, and he said he's such a help, Mum, and he's so sure-footed. And, you know, it's very important to know we've got our feet on the ground and know where we're walking. And if we're walking in a rough path or whatever, I'll put my hand on John's shoulder because I'm not as sure-footed physically because of my bad legs as he is, but in the spirit I'm sure-footed. And that's what's important. And, you know, I think about David when he was a young shepherd boy. He was sure-footed and he learned to be sure-footed. And sometimes it was boring out there with the sheep, following the sheep around. But he learned to be sure-footed, walking in paths that were unknown. And I know with my husband, he walks and has walked since he was a little boy, all through paddocks and things, rabbiting and not knowing where he was going. But you learn to be sure-footed in the rough paths. We don't learn to be sure-footed where the paths are smooth and familiar. It's when we go into unknown territory that we learn all about being sure-footed and confident and agile. And, you know, this young David, when he was went out and decided that he believed that God had called him to face Goliath, David was sure in himself about what he was doing. And, you know, if we would think with our own mind and our own understanding, we would think to go and pick up stones that were rough and jagged, because we'd be thinking with our own mind and our own feelings, the rougher it was, the more jagged, the harder it had hurt. But you see, David went and picked smooth stones. And there's a real message in that. I'm not going to talk about that today because each of those stones represents something. But David picked smooth stones because a smooth stone is easier to sling and it'll stay more on course, whereas a pointy stone or a jagged stone will go off in all different directions. And so he was confident and sure about what he was doing. And God wants us to be confident and sure about what we're doing in our lives. I was watching a Channel 2 program about birds the other night. I can't think of the guy's name. He does all of those documentaries on animals and things. And it was showing the eagle and how confident and sure an eagle is. And an eagle knows that when it eats its prey, it gets into the bone and it needs the marrow. There's tremendous source of strength and nourishment and vitamins and things that the eagle needs in the marrow of the bone. And you see this eagle and he's got this great big bone that's nearly probably over half its size, and he's pecking and he can't get in. But he understands and knows his territory. And so he picks up this bone and he positions it in a way that it won't catch the draft of the wind. He sort of carries it sort of to the side of his body and he flies high, high, high up to where the mountains are. And he gets very high over the mountains, and with his sharp eyes he sees and he knows exactly where he's going to position that bone. And so he drops it strategically and it falls onto this great rock and smashes open. He knows exactly where to drop it. That's being sure and confident in who he is and why he is. And then, of course, when it hits the ground, all the other birds come, because they know, and there are other, don't ask me, I'm not educated on birds, but some of the other big birds and other types of eagles come, because they know too the good that's in this bone, and it's broken in half. But you see, the minute the eagle comes soaring down, he doesn't squawk, he doesn't make a noise, he just comes and drops right down in front of the bone, and he just stands there. And he looks around, and as he does, the other birds shift. He knows his authority, and they know his authority. And then he gets in and he eats the marrow. And then when he's finished, he always leaves some. He always leaves some. And the other birds then come and eat what is left. So it's very important to be sure-footed. It's very important to know who you are, why you are, and to know your authority. Today I want to speak about, are you a victor or a victim? Jesus Christ died that we might be victors, that we might be victorious, that we might be sure-footed, that we might stand in that authority that he died to bring us, as Elder Lewis shared this morning. Last Sunday morning, Pastor Stephen Holt spoke a very powerful word to us about the strategies of the enemy and about the traps of the enemy. And I had already been stirring in my heart again, because I've spoken about passion, I've spoken about authority before, but I believe we need to hear more and more. We need to get hold of the reality of that within our spirits, not in our mind, in our spirit. We need to know those things. And I was thinking on the lines of, you know, about how God wants us to see things. Many of you know that my grandniece had a terrible accident a couple of weeks ago and was hit by a tram in the city. It was over all the news, and her life hung in the balance, and the doctors said all sorts of things about her. But we stood in the authority of Christ and we've prayed her through. And even though she's still classed as serious but stable, her condition is improving. And we as a family believe that God will use this in a mighty way, not just to heal her, but to bring Christ. And we never know, as Pastor Stephen said, where God is going to lead us and why and what he's doing, but ours is to trust him and to really press in. And so we've prayed, obviously, for her physical health and strength, but we've prayed also that the family might see Jesus Christ and know that even though the doctors and nurses are wonderful, it takes more than them to bring a life back from the brink of death. And you see, I was thinking, they were saying about all the scans they do on her and how amazing it is, and it is amazing. But you see, man only has this knowledge because God has given it to him. God can already see inside of us without any scans or MRIs or whatever else. He already knows what's broken. He already knows what's weak. But you see, often we'll go to the doctor and we'll have these scans and we listen to that. But when the Lord wants to speak to us through his word and through his spirit and show us what's broken inside, we don't want to listen. Or we go and we say, well, I can fix that. Well, we can't fix it because it's too deep. Just as some of these things within Claire are very deep, the brokenness and the things that have happened inside of her are deep. And the doctors have said, look, it's dangerous to operate. We've just got to trust that it all heals together. Well, we know that it will heal together because Jesus is deep. Jesus can go deep into the hearts of us. Now, Pastor Stephen spoke and he said the last three things he said, and I'm sure many of you can remember, that there were three great enemies. And one was the Philistines, which is a common enemy, and that is the fallen world. And the second one was Saul, who is a personal enemy, and that's the devil, Satan. And third was the men of Keilah, which is a customised betrayer, my flesh. And you see, we have to know that Jesus Christ has given us victory over each of those things. And I want to take that up this morning because it really stirred something within me. That, you know, we get so caught up sometimes fighting unnecessary battles that we're not prepared or ready or armed for what really is necessary. We get so caught up in things because we're so emotionally driven, we are so mind-driven, and we have to become more spirit-led. We need to be people who get into the power of God through the reading of His word, through prayer, and through speaking in tongues. If there's anybody here this morning who doesn't know Jesus Christ, it is my prayer and desire that before you leave, you will come to meet Him. And if there's anybody here this morning who doesn't know the power of the Holy Spirit at work within you, come and ask for prayer. Now, we know that the minute we're saved, we are filled with the Spirit. But we need to allow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live and have His being and flow through us, not just to keep Him locked away inside. He wants to be active within your life. He wants to give you that authority that is in Christ Jesus. This morning I want you to look at Ephesians 1:15 to 23. I love Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. Paul spoke and he said, you have an untapped potential, and it's untapped because most Christians are not aware of what they possess and they go through life limping as a result. Do you want to be sure-footed today? You know, no matter what we feel physically, we can be spiritually sure-footed. And you see, it's very important that if we want to see the traps of the enemy, we must understand what Ephesians is saying to us. God not only adopted us and seated us with Christ in the heavenly places, but He has lavished upon us the riches of His grace, making known to us, according to verse 9 of Ephesians 1, the mystery of His will. And why did He do this? The Spirit of God guarantees that He will give us everything He's promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. This is just one more reason for us to praise this glorious God. And it says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future He has promised to those He called. Do you look forward to a wonderful future? Do you rejoice in a glorious day? Do you rejoice in the confidence of knowing that you are here for a purpose? You are here for such a time as this. And do you look forward, or do you look forward with fear and anger and drudgery? I want you to realise what a rich and glorious inheritance He has given to His people, that is us. Paul says, I pray that you'll begin to understand the incredible greatness of His power for us who believe in Him. This, the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honour at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Do you know today that that is where you are seated? You need to. You need to, especially today. Now He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and He gave Him this authority for the benefit of the church, for us. And the church is the body. It is filled by Christ, who fills everything everywhere with His presence. So we see that there are some important things laid out here. Paul said he asked the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, to give us spiritual wisdom so that we would grow in this spiritual wisdom and understanding. And you see, we need that wisdom and understanding, don't we? Today, our world is in such turmoil. And if it's not today, it'll be tomorrow. If it's not one thing, it is another. There are always challenges. We see that our government is struggling. We see that both sides, two parties, just look absolutely worn out and exhausted because they're looking for strategies. But they're looking for them with the mind of reason. And it can only come with the heart and the mind of God. So we need to pray, people. We need to pray. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our community. We need to pray. But we need to be seeking this spiritual wisdom and this understanding, because without it, we will never see the trappings of the enemy. And that's what Pastor Stephen was talking about last week. We need to be sure-footed to see where the pitfalls are. And you see, you can't. You, even if you try, you know, to walk along very timidly and carefully, you'll still trip up because you'll run into something else. We've got to walk with a confidence and a sure-footedness to know that he is leading us. Just as I put my hand on my husband's shoulder and I know that he is walking and he'll lead me through his, when we're out in the paddocks I'm talking about. Because if I get on a stone or something now, I can bend. But spiritually I'm talking about, we need to be sure-footed. We need to know who it is that we're following and where we're going. And you see, David knew what God was speaking to him. And that's why he took those stones with a confidence, because he knew how to defeat the enemy. And we need to know that. But first we need the wisdom to see where he is and what he's doing. Paul goes on and prays that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. The heart in Paul's time was considered to be the seat of the mind and the will. Our modern culture has the heart as the seat of our emotion. Paul prays that our minds and our wills will be enlightened. We will have information, but we lack, sorry, we today have information, but we lack the transformation of information into understanding the will of God for this situation. So we know that we have lots of information, but we need the Spirit of God to bring that and transform that information to understanding, because we don't always understand. If you try to use your mind, you'll get lost. You just work one thing out and then there's another thing. So we need to have our minds transformed into his will. It is the Spirit that enlightens that transformation. There is a crucial in our understanding of spiritual authority. And Matthew 28:18 says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth.'" So how much authority has Jesus? All authority. Where is his authority exercised? In heaven and on earth. And so we know that when Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, he transfers his authority to the church, to you and me. Do you know that authority? Do you believe that authority? Are you sure-footed in that authority today? Jesus, the head of the church, and we, the believers, make up the body. Is not your body connected to your head? I hope so. We need to be. But do you know, we know that we're physically connected, but we're not always connected emotionally, let alone spiritually. Our heads can tell us many things and we think, which way? Have you ever been in a situation and you think, where do I go? Particularly if it's a difficult time, a frightening time. I know with my niece, when she got the word, and it was incredible and I won't go into it, but how she got the word that her daughter had been hit and run over by a tram. She was dragged 8 metres and they were amazed she was still alive. And it was like she stood there and she said, "Auntie Pat, I thought, what do I do? Where do I go? What's the next move? Who do I ring? What do I do?" Now you see, my heart ached for her because she doesn't know Jesus. There was no peace in her heart. There was anguish and fear and desperation. But she rang, and then praise God, they rang and said, "Would you pray? Would I pray? Would we pray?" Of course we would pray, and envelop them with a love and a care and a desire that they too might know this Jesus who would give them a peace that passes all understanding in the midst of all trials and tribulation and pain. So we know that we need to be connected by his Spirit so that we know, "Lord, I don't know what to do, but you know, Lord, lead me. Take me, lead me, show me what I should do, where I should be." And you see, without a moment, it's there. We just move. We move in his power, in his Spirit. We also know, as I said, that Jesus Christ is seated in heavenly places. He's at the right hand of the Father, which is the seat of authority. And Scripture tells the believers in Christ that we are also seated in those heavenly places. We know not physically, but spiritually, with that same authority. So Paul is praying that we might have this revealed to us. I pray the Spirit of God now is opening your eyes that you might see the wonders of his glory, the wonders of his grace, the power of the authority that has been invested in you. Without it, we cannot survive. We will just struggle. And sadly, the church is struggling. All over, in many places, the church is struggling. There are many churches closing their doors because they do not know that power. They have not experienced that power, that authority. It is so sad. We have already inherited all there is to have. You know, when God created the world, he said, Adam, in the garden, and he gave him authority over everything. Now, because of sin, Adam was cast out. But God was continuing to work with man all through the scriptures to bring back that authority. And his spirit came upon man and woman. And ladies, we've been studying the book of Esther. Oh, ask God to reveal to you. There is so much in that, those chapters about authority, about sure-footedness, about knowing who you are, where you are, and why you are. And then God sent his Son that we might again know that authority, that we might again rule over all that God has given us. You know, there are people, Christians, that don't know how to rule over their homes, let alone over God's kingdom. We've got to rise up, people. We've got kids out there that are lost, broken, lonely, sad. Many of you may have seen, and I don't want to make a big thing of this, but it grieved my heart, and that was the story of Ben Cousins. So, so sad. Sad that he got in there, but sadder still that because of lack of wisdom, lack of knowledge, that has gone to air. That man is not anywhere near ready to be standing and making those statements. And the biggest struggle he has is not with drugs, it's within himself. He's a crazy, mixed up, insecure young man, and he needs Jesus. And you see, people publicise these things for money, and it makes him feel very good. But it's too early. There is so much he has to live and conquer. But you see, without wisdom, without good people around us, people will lead you off into doing all sorts of things because it feels good, or it looks good, or it brings in money. And it saddened me, and I just prayed that parents would watch it with their children, because it wasn't so much watching it with their children to explain, yes, about the drugs, but to guard them, because it left more questions than it brought answers to me. It seems that the more information we have, more information and less application. We have knowledge without enlightenment, because we have thought man to be able to enlighten himself without the power of the Holy Spirit. And you might say, oh, well, I'm a Christian. That doesn't apply to me. Well, I'm sorry, it does. It applies to many of us that we are not enlightened. We stand at a time when there is such a need for prayer. Paul says it is more necessary than ever before. Paul goes on in verse 19 to say that through the enlightenment of our heart we will understand the surpassing greatness of his power that is towards us believers. We need to know that power. We need to know that power. As we read through other scriptures, we see that his power is great. We have access to that power. Paul states that this power has raised Christ from the dead, and it is so powerful it can raise you to all sorts of heights in God's will. The devil, we know, thought Jesus was defeated and he was ready to have a party. And then Jesus rose victorious and rose, took with him us, sin and death and sickness, disease, all manner of things Jesus rose and took with him, and we are raised with him. Do you feel raised with Jesus today? In your circumstance, not just sitting here in church where it's nice and secure and we feel comfortable, but when you leave here and you face your world, your life, your struggles, your fears, your challenges, do you feel raised with Christ in heavenly places? Do you connect with him in authority in those places, or do you crumble and run in fear? Jesus wants us to stand. Just like the eagle comes down and alights on that rock. That bone is mine, guys. And he just stands in authority. Do you know that's all we have to do to defeat the enemy? We are so busy yelling and taunting and saying all sorts of things when we just have to stand and speak the word in authority. The enemy knows if you are confident or if you're fearful. He doesn't know a lot of things, but he smells and senses fear. He senses insecurity. And if you feel afraid and you're saying to him, he won't move. Now, the thing we have to understand is that, as Pastor Stephen said, we don't have to fight the enemy. Jesus has already beat him. He's already won the victory. The thing we have to do, like that eagle, is stand in that victory and just stand. What did Jesus do when he was in the wilderness? He spoke the word of God. He didn't yell and scream and jump around and show any anxiety. He knew the word. He was sure-footed in the word. He was confident in the word, so he just spoke the word. And that's all we have to do. But you see, if it's not embedded in our hearts, if that confidence is not in, if we're not spending time in the word and understanding the word, allowing the Spirit to make the word alive to us, we won't be able to do that. And so the enemy, he can't make you do anything. He can't do anything to destroy your life. He can only make you convinced in your own fear. He can only keep you locked in your own fear and your own insecurities. But if you stand in authority, he will flee. Resist, it says. It doesn't say fight, it says resist. Stand. Be sure-footed. Be confident. Be authoritative. And speak the word. And he will flee. Jesus has put everything under his feet. Put him under your feet. He's under your feet. Don't listen. Don't listen. But you know, the enemy comes in through our flesh, doesn't he? And as we heard last week, the only thing we are to fight for, where we're to fight, is in the fallen world. We're to fight and push the enemy back to draw those who are lost in the world. But you see, the enemy speaks through our flesh. And again, we are not to fight our flesh. We are to speak our flesh into submission. Paul said, the wretched things that I would not do and the things I would do, I don't do. But he brings it all into submission to Christ, that he might know the power of his greatness to work for good in him. Jesus Christ is the one who came to set us free from all things. And we know that it says in Ephesians, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. But we have authority. And you see, those wickedness and those things will speak into our mind. He cannot speak into your spirit. He speaks into your mind. And you see, if you don't know about the transforming of your mind, if you don't know where it says in Corinthians to take captive every thought and imagination to the control of Jesus through the power of the Spirit, you will listen. And when you listen to negatives, or when you look at things, your heart will start to beat. And that can be a natural thing to happen, because we are flesh. And we are growing in the spirit. So the first reaction will be flesh. But depending on how close you are to the Lord, how focused you are, how much you read his word, how much you know the power of the spirit, that will go quickly and you will come into the thing of the spirit and you will start to reason with the mind of Christ. And you will start to see, no, I can see now where the enemy is coming in, and you will just ignore him. You will just speak to him and resist him. You might say, oh, gee, Pat, that sounds so simple. It sounds a bit airy-fairy. It is what the Word of God says. It is how God is growing us to live. Now, none of us are perfect. We are growing and growing, and we are not to become condemned. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who walk after the Spirit of God, because Jesus Christ has broken the flesh that we might live in the Spirit. And if we slip up and we make a mistake, we are not to feel condemned. We are to come back to God and make things right. We all can be caught up with anxiety. We can all be caught up with the lie. But as I say, the Spirit of God comes in and shows us the truth. You will know the truth, Jesus says, and the truth will set you free. Know the truth of the word. Have the word hidden in your heart, that the Spirit of God can make that word alive to you and show you the things. Now, you see, I just want to spend the last few minutes on, as I said, the part about the flesh. We have been so long in our flesh. Depending when we're saved, some people have lived in the flesh for a long time. And it takes time to master the flesh. But we need to get into the power of the Spirit. Now, our flesh will tell us all sorts of things. Our flesh will bring anger to the smallest thing. And you see, without the Spirit of God, we will react on that anger. And if someone hits me, I'll hit them back. Someone says something, you'll say something back. That isn't the teaching of Jesus. We are to stand in humility. We are to stand in love. We are to turn the other cheek. We are to allow the Spirit of God to minister to us. And you see, if we understand, we will take that moment to take a deep breath, and then sometimes the thing doesn't demand any answer. But if we do need to answer, we need to answer with the wisdom of Christ. A gentle word turns away wrath. A wise word breaks down a fierce army. You know, I found in the walk that God has called me to that that works. I have faced many situations of seemingly danger, of great burly guys and doing all sorts of things. But you see, when the Spirit of God comes in and I move in the Spirit, they are disarmed. Just as David disarmed Goliath. He disarmed him long before the stone hit him, because he was sure-footed. He knew who he was standing in. He knew what he was doing. He was in familiar territory. And so he defeated. And you see, we can disarm the situation. Now, as far as our flesh, we're not to fight our flesh. We're to speak to our flesh. But again, if we're people that are used to living in the flesh, gratifying the flesh, not feeding on the word, it's what we feed on is who we are. What do you feed on? What's uppermost in your life? The pleasures of this world? Food? Movies? Sport? All of those things are okay, but in their place. They are not to be the big thing in our life, the highlight in our life. Jesus Christ is the source of my life and my strength. Without him, those other things have no pleasure. There is no joy, because they become our captors, our owners. We are to be a free people, free to live and enjoy all things, but enjoy him the most. He is to be the first. And then we will know how to flick that switch and turn off that television show or that scene, and not allow our ears to hear the things that we shouldn't hear. I went into a ladies' restroom Friday, and there were a couple of young girls in there, pretty young girls, and they were standing there talking, and I went in and I came out to wash my hands. All of a sudden, it all started to come out. It's filth. And they no longer look pretty young girls. And I just turned around and I said to them, "Sweetie, is that necessary?" They sort of looked at me. I said, "That's not nice to come out of your pretty mouth. And it certainly isn't nice to hear." And I touched her on the arm and said, "Have a nice day." And she just sort of stood there like struck. And the other one looked at me and smiled. And as I went out the door, she said to me, "Thank you." Do you know our kids want to be pulled up? Not, "You dreadful girl, you shouldn't speak like that." With loving compassion. With loving compassion. Now, I'm not telling you to do what I do. Be led by him. That's what I do. I felt led by God to say that because it truly grieved me to hear them speak. And I thought there may be no one else that would confront those girls and make them understand or hear what they're saying, because it wasn't nice. Not nice at all, and so totally unnecessary. Plus, I don't like that in my space. There are places if you're walking out in the street, but when you're in an enclosed area, you don't want to hear those things. Not that you want to hear them anywhere. We've been made new creations in Christ Jesus. New, whole. And we need to live like that. And so, knowing the truth, we can know freedom. So we need to bring this flesh into the subjection of Christ. Lord, how do you want me to live? You see, do you know what? It puzzles me. There are so few Christians that realise that we need to have a value system for our lives. We grow up and parents don't teach children about values. They may live certain things, but I'm talking about teaching. The Bible says to teach and to train. But you see, you can't teach unless you have it yourself. Then we get married and it's all building a house, all these things. What about a value system? What value do you put on your life? What value do you put on your home? What value do you put on your children? We need to find the values in Christ. And we need to know that value system, that we live by it. So then our flesh will come into submission to that system. Otherwise, it's a feel-good situation. If I feel like it, I do it. If I want it, I have it. Do you know, there's nothing more empowering to go up, and there's many things with you it might be different, to go up and see, a case filled with all these luscious cream cakes. Now, I can have one if I want one, but it's wonderful to look and say, "No, I don't need that," and walk away. So often we buy out of a sense of having to, because this flesh says, "I have to have it." Why do I have to have it? If I really sit down and whatever and I feel like it, or I can make a cake myself and have some. But we are so drawn, aren't we, by our eyes, the lust of the flesh. If our eyes are focused on him, we will have our lives in order. So we don't fight the flesh. We trust God that as we work in him, as we know who we are in him, he will bring this flesh into submission. And you see, the thing we need to do is know our authority as we go into the world, into our communities. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn." In 2 Corinthians 10:3-8 it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness the revenge to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority which the Lord has given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should be ashamed. So we need to realise that God is the source of our authority and he is the power behind our authority to do all things in all situations. 1 John 4:1 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them in the world, because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world." And so there is nothing in the world that we cannot overcome. The world, meaning the world system. When we talk about man, we don't talk about individual men, we talk about mankind. And so we know that the world system is enmity to God. It is thought up out of man's mind. And we know that many of us here have loved ones out in that world. They may be parents, they may be husbands, they may be wives, they may be children, nieces, nephews, aunties, whoever. We need to pray. But we pray that God will equip us with the words that we need to speak, with the touch that we need, with the compassionate heart that we need. But then there needs to be a strength that when we go into prayer, that we will claim them back out of the enemy's territory. But as we pray, we need to pray with a confidence. Do you have that confidence today? Do you have the confidence in the authority of God? Do you have the confidence to know that you are not placed in the family that you're in by accident? Do you have the confidence to know that you are here for such a time as this? Do you have the confidence to know that God wants to use your life to bring change? To bring change to your families, to bring change to your community, to bring change to your world? If you haven't, God help you. Because we'll be swallowed up without that confidence. And you see, we can get into this emotional thing that we will compromise because of the love for our families. Particularly if it's someone really close to you, like your husband or your wife or your children. We can so easily get into the flesh and compromise. And that just gives license to whatever's happening. Whereas we need to stand in the authority of Christ and know that he will help us and encourage us to bring it through. Finally, the Lord says in Matthew, "Whatever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Do you believe that? When you pray, do you believe that? Our faith must be increased. Because if we doubt, we struggle. We need the confidence to believe that the word of God is sure, that it is true. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, against the temptations of the flesh, against the rulers of this world." We have authority to take back all that has been taken from us. We must believe so much that it is like a fire in our heart. It is a zealous passion that we have. It is an inward conviction in our spirit. It is an inspiration from the Holy Spirit. That's what we all need today, not tomorrow. Today, now. This is the faith for victorious living. This is the key to stand in authority, to drive away the enemy, to overcome the flesh, to release the power of God in our lives and in lives that we love. do all these things. They are possible and they bring value to your life and to your families. To be much for God, we must be much with God. To be much for God, we must be much with God. Where do you spend most of your time? Even when you're busy doing things, who is at your heart? Where is your mind? What is your tongue doing? Are you thinking angry thoughts, vengeful thoughts, frustrating thoughts? Or are you allowing the Spirit of God to bring wisdom and peace? If you get your life in a bind and in a mess, as so many do, believe me, you won't get yourself out of it. The more you struggle, the more you'll entangle yourself. It is only Him who knows, because He knows where the thread is to pull to bring the untangling, where we spend so long looking for it. You must come to grips with the power of Christ. His word makes it true. His decision makes it happen. His authority makes it so. Let us hear Him and obey. Father God, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you for your power of your word, the authority of your word. Father God, I pray that, Lord God, your Spirit would do business with the ears that hear this morning. That, Lord God, we might not just sit and think, oh, well, that was a challenging word, and then walk away and leave it. But, Lord, that you would challenge each one of your children. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and He is calling us today to do business, to surrender to Him. You may have been a Christian for many years, but the Lord is saying there are parts of your life that you have not given me. The Spirit of God now is searching each heart, and He says, surrender, my son. Surrender, my daughter. I don't care what position you hold. We can bluff for so long, and then we will stumble. The Lord is calling each one today to stand up in His authority as a son and a daughter of the living God, to begin from this day forward to start to grow in the power of His might, to know who you are, where you are, and why you are, to know the freedom that He has given you, to know the authority and power He has given you to take all that He died to bring. There are loved ones who so need that authority in your life. There are loved ones who so need the truth that you can speak. So, Father, I pray that you might stir hearts today, that we will get down to real business, Lord God, and be the people you created us to be. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.